I wrote on the board the word awake, and I was thinking about this morning, and when I woke up, in a little bit I went out to the living room, and I was looking out our south windows, and I saw four deer come running up there, and four does, and they ran around trying to figure out where to jump over the fence into the pasture, and they finally decided on a place, and they just jumped over and so gracefully. Then they ran out in the pasture and just kind of played around. I hadn't really seen that kind of scene out there, if ever before, because we are in the city, but we do see deer sometimes, and so I love to sit at those windows and look out south and east, and especially in the mornings, and see the sun as it rises, or as it this morning about that time it was kind of a soft glow, and it was just beautiful to behold what God made. And those deer ran out there in the field, and it looked like maybe a couple of others joined them. It was quite a ways out there by that time, and I couldn't see all of them. But they just kind of messed around there a little bit, and then they disappeared into the woods. And, you know, sometimes I like to look out back there, and there's a big hawk, a really big hawk. And he'll come and sit on a post. There's two posts that he'll sit on sometimes. And I suppose he's looking for rats or mice or whatever runs in the field. And it's just beautiful to see. You know, the other day we saw a big blackbird, a crow. And it was just doing its thing. You know how they move their head when they do their talking and everything. You know, I'm glad this morning that I'm not blind to those things. I love to see those beauties of God that He has made. I just often I look out to the south, and you know, there's a big two wooden post where we drive through into the to the south pasture there, and we don't have a big place, but we've got about 7 acres. And it's just so nice to sit and look out that window and see the beauty of God. I love that. Thankful I have eyes to see that this morning. I'm thankful I woke up this morning to see that. I'm glad when I went out in the living room that I felt like the Lord did that. Because I wanted to go out there this morning. I wanted to see the beauty of God. And I never expected what I saw. I was kind of hoping to see some deer, but what I saw was beautiful. And they ran out through there, and their tails were bobbing, and you know what it's like with the white tails. And, you know, this morning, God made everything, didn't He? He made spiritual things too. And the psalmist in Psalms 27 and 4, he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." Psalm 27 and 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." I'm glad when I got up this morning. I know there are people that are blind, and I feel for them. But I'm glad I didn't have to feel my way through the house. But I was able to go, and I was able to behold the things that God had made. And this psalmist says, he says, "I've desired one thing of the Lord, and I'm going to seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Thank you. In the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. You know, this morning, there are some things that God wants us to behold. And I want to ask you this morning how your sight is today. I want to ask you what you saw this morning. And I'm not thinking physical. I want to ask you what you saw, what you've seen since you've been here. I want to ask you how it's affected you and your desire for those things. How is it today? The scripture says, but if our gospel be hid, this is 2 Corinthians 4. It's a good place for us to mark down in our little book of notes or whatever. And keep this in mind forever, because it's so pertinent to our lives. 4:4 of 2 Corinthians, 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you know this morning that not everybody that would have been sitting in my living room this morning could have seen what I saw? And I want to tell you, not everybody that's sitting here this morning may be able to see what I'm talking about this morning either. And I want to ask us today, are we awake? Do we have our vision today? I know many of us do. But I'm going to ask us all to consider some things this morning. I just felt like the Lord gave me that thought, awake. And we'll read a scripture with that here in a few minutes. But you know, this morning, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And I want to ask us this morning, are the spiritual things of God hid to us? Or are we like the psalmist that says, I desire one thing of the Lord, and I'm going to seek after that, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Have you beheld his beauty this day? Have you beheld in, do you behold in your life the beauty of the Lord? Or are we blinded to it? Are we unable to see those things that's running out there in front of us? The beauty, the gorgeous. I just sat there and soaked it up. I finally went when they got too far away, and I got a pair of binoculars and started, they were already gone by then. I couldn't see them anymore. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to have spiritual life. He wants us to have spiritual sight. He wants us to be awake spiritually so that we can see the beauty of the Lord in our lives today. Oh, I want to encourage us this morning. We all know that scripture so well, don't we? John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, this morning, folks, if the gospel is hid from us, it is because many times, folks, that the God of this world has blinded our eyes. And the Lord wants our eyes to be opened. He wants us to be able to see. I remember when one that's sitting here this morning confessed, after she got saved, she didn't like to come to church before she got saved. But what happened? Why all of a sudden does she always want to be there if possible? What happened? Something was made alive. Something, sight happened, didn't it? Life happened. Something woke up. And this morning, I want to encourage us today. Folks, I know that we know that there is an eternity coming. We know that. You know, we must be prepared for that. We have to awake. We have to awaken our souls and let God wake us up. We have to keep ourselves from the idols of this world, the things that blind our minds. I want to tell you, there are a lot of things that blind the minds and the hearts of people. And they're unable to see the beauties of the Lord. Unable to see those good things of God because they're blinded by things that God said don't. Is that right this morning? Of course it's right. I want to tell you this morning, folks, be careful about the things that we put into our lives. Young folks, old folks, middle-aged. I want to tell you, the devil picks on anybody. He don't care your age. But I want to tell you something. You're going to have to decide some things. It's time to wake up. I'm not laying in bed anymore. I'm not going to have my eyes closed anymore. I want to see those beautiful things. I want them in my life. I want them to be alive and vibrant. You know how much difference there is between a knowledge of something? You can be blind and know of something. You can be blind and know what a mountain looks like because you saw it one time. But you can't see it anymore. And I want to encourage us this morning that not to let our gospel be hid. I want to tell you, we are in a constant battle, are we not? This little guy in our pocket here, this little phone. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, we got to be careful, don't we? Pretty soon we'll find out we've been on that thing for hours. Not doing anything bad. Just stealing all our devotion that we would be giving to the Lord. Just stealing that time that we would be interacting with our family. I want to tell you, these things are real, folks. These things are real. If we're blind to it, I'm sorry. Let's ask God, Lord, open my eyes that I might see. Then I want to ask us this morning, are we awake? Are we awake to spiritual things? Are we alive? Do we see them? Do we know them? Do we view them? Do we love them? I want to tell you, when we are alive and awake and we see beautiful things, it's beautiful, isn't it? This morning, the Lord help us today. In Luke 7 and 12, there's a little story that Luke penned for us and wrote down for us, and I'm glad he did. It says in verse 11, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out." There was a dead man carried out. "The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." Now I want to ask you what the difference was. Jesus touched this bier, and he spoke to this young man. Now what was the difference? The young man was laying there. His legs were there. His arms were there. His eyes were there. His head was there. Everything was there. But there was something vastly different, wasn't there? He was dead. And there wasn't any life in him. But when Jesus spoke to him, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." I want to tell you something. The man sat up. The young man began to speak. And something began to be different. And he was alive. Oh, this morning, I want to challenge us today. I know everybody may not take this message this morning, but I just want to challenge us. The Lord wants us to have spiritual life. And folks, when we come to the end of the way, we're going to have a life within our soul to be able to meet God in peace. It's not enough to know about God. It's not enough to know what's right and wrong and be good. That's not enough, folks. We've got to have the Spirit of the Lord. We've got to have the Lord to say, arise. I say unto thee, young man, arise. And I want to tell you something. When we sit up and we begin to speak, everything's different, isn't it? We have a pulse. We have desires. We see things. Things affect us. That's called life. And this morning, I just want to give you this challenge. I prayed, Lord, what is it? I sought the Lord, and I felt like this is what the Lord told me. Awake! 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 I was asleep this morning, and I woke up, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and it was pretty early. The dead sat up and began to speak. In Ephesians 5 and 14, it says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give you light. You're going to be able to see. You're going to be able to comprehend. And that's what God wants to give us today. Don't settle. Folks, I feel like the Lord gave me this. Let's don't settle for dead works. Let's don't settle for a life of knowledge. That young man had everything there. Everything was there. He knew the whole, he was all there. But he wasn't alive. And I want to encourage us this morning, folks, let's stir ourselves. Let's have spiritual life within us. The kind that when we come to church, we got something to say. Speak. Oh, folks, listen. We have to stir ourselves up. I know we're not all the same. We don't all manifest the same. But I want to tell you one thing. There's a big difference between life and death. And the Lord says, awake. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, this morning, let's let the Lord speak into our life today and give us light and life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's in Christ. That's in him in our heart. That's far more than a head knowledge. That's a knowledge of God within our life. Oh, we might not have all the head knowledge. We might not have hardly any head knowledge. That's okay. We don't have to have head knowledge. We have to believe. We have to believe that Jesus is Christ and that we will let him be Lord of our life. We have to repent of our sins and turn away from those dark works of darkness, those dead deeds that lead us in a path, folks, that lead us away from the Lord, that lead us into a lethargy and a spiritual deadness in our life, that we're alive unto everything except those things that we know of. Oh, this morning, I just want to encourage us today that God wants us to be alive. Whether we're 10 years old or whether we're 90 years old, folks, the Lord wants us to have life within our soul. You know, when I was 10 years old, I knew about God. I knew a lot of things about God, even though I didn't go to church most of that time. I was taught a lot of things about the Lord. But I didn't have the experience my wife had. When she was 9 years old, the Lord was revealing things to her. She was seeing God's work and God was dealing with her heart and life. I would have loved to have had those experiences when I was 9 years old. Mine came later. But I want to tell you, there came a time when I had to awake. And when I realized that I needed to awake, I hardly knew it. But there came a time that I realized, I want that. And I want to tell you, that will I seek after. That will I seek after. And my heart began to long for those things. And I began to seek after those things. Pray to God. I fasted some. And I'm not trying to boast in those things. Folks, I was desperate. I knew I needed some things I didn't have. And folks, this morning, I want to encourage us today to have life within our soul. Oh, the Lord came to speak to our life and to tell us, arise. And we might have all the things there as far as doctrine and all those things, but folks, there needs to be something alive as well. Hebrews 9 and 13. For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord wants to purge our conscience from dead works. That's from sin. That's from our own way of serving God. That's from our own plan. The Lord wants today to purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Oh, this morning, children, I hope at 9 years old you get a hold of those things. I hope you get a hold of the fact that God is real. I will tell you, it'll save you so much through your life if you don't get tainted and stained and addicted and all of those things to things of this life. I want to tell you, it'll save you a whole lot in life. Search for those things. This one thing I want. I want to be able to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to be able to sit among His people until I die. I want that more than anything else this morning. But I want to tell you something. If you're going to have it, it's going to happen on purpose. It's going to happen on purpose. Every one of us, if we're going to have it, it will happen only on purpose. It won't be that someday we're so overcome with conviction or whatever that we just submit to God. Everything just finally fell in place. I want to tell you something. If you're going to submit to God, start looking for Him. Ask Him. Ask Him for conviction. Ask Him for a clear vision. Ask Him to wake my soul. Ask Him to give me joy when I come to the service of the Lord. And the songs start going forward. I know the devil comes too. And he's going to accuse you and all those things. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to give you joy too. And He wants to rebuke the devil in your life. The Lord wants to give that. There's a lethargy, a sleepiness, a drowsiness pertaining to spiritual things. Folks, it's deadly. It's deadly. And I want to tell you a lot of times why it's there. Because we are replacing the fervor, the desire, and the love for God with other things. And we're filling our life with all of this junk until we just really just don't have any desire. Kind of like eating a bunch of junk food. And the table gets spread and you're all full of junk food, all full of stuff that hasn't done you any good, and it's just put you to sleep. That's the way it's like. But folks, if we want to be hungry, then let's save ourselves for it. All right? Save ourselves for the good stuff. Let's ask the Lord into our lives. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, I need life, 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 eternal life. Oh, cry for it today. Folks, I'm just going to share this with you and then leave it with you. And this morning, I hope that there's a few that will decide in their hearts, that's what I want. I don't want a dead form. I don't want something that I know about it all. I just don't know it. I just don't know how. I just don't have any of that life inside. Folks, the Lord wants to give us life. I'm not preaching condemnation, folks. I'm telling you, there's something so much better than that. And when we come to the end of our way and we've just lived every day of our life like that, every day, and the Lord comes and we say in our hearts, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, waiting as Paul did, waiting, knowing there's a day coming that the Lord's going to come back and he's going to get me. Oh, the Lord bless us today. I love the scripture over in John 10 and 10. Most of us here probably, a bunch of us here probably know exactly what that says, don't we? Oh, listen to this. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I want to tell you something. Don't think the thief is coming to do you good. The devil's not coming to your life to do you good. You ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that the thief, the devil, Satan, the liar, the one that caused all this trouble to start with, you think he's coming to do you good? I want to tell you, the scriptures tell us the thief cometh not but for to steal. You know what he's going to steal? He's going to steal those most valuable things out of our life, our integrity. He's going to steal our love for God. He's going to steal the truth from us. And we'll be so mixed up, we won't know where to go back to. I want to tell you, he'll come and steal. He'll steal from you the chance to have a godly home. Because, folks, once we get married and we're married to somebody that's really ungodly, we can't make it godly. The Lord has to do that through both of us. The Lord has to do that. He wants to steal that from you. He wants to steal that possibility from you. You know, it says here, he comes not to just steal, but to kill. He wants to put an everlasting death upon your life. He wants to take you to a devil's hell. I shudder to say the words. I do. I don't like to say those words. But I want to tell you something. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said here, I am come. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what that's like? That they might have life. What was the difference when the young fella sat up in the casket? Big difference. He had life, didn't he? And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. And he didn't stop there. He drove it home and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what he came for. Did he come for us to just have a taste? No, he came for us to have life, and he came for us to have life more abundantly. And he wants to bless your soul more than you ever thought he would. Now, am I saying you're never going to have a problem? No, I'm not saying that. But I want to tell you something. If we will submit ourselves to the Lord when we're young, I'm so glad I did that. I look back and I think about the things that, and I'm not boasting in this, God kept us from it. Thank the Lord I don't have all those things in my mind and my memory bank and all the things that trouble people. Folks, there's enough of life without all of that. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to give us life, and He wants to give it to you more abundantly. So this morning, let's consider these things. Romans 6 and 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's a good thing to be dead to, isn't it? Because those are the things that steal from us. They steal from us the hope that we could have in the Lord. They steal from us our future. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to this. Well, let's turn over here to 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. To 10, 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's in our soul, in our body. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It talks about God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The Lord said, let there be light. He said, let there be light. And you know what happened? There was light. And you know what? He hath shined in our hearts. Folks, let's enjoy this a little more than we do. It's been good for me to be sick. I'll just be honest with you. You know what? The Lord's just kind of, He's given me a new focus, I believe. A new something on life. And I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to use all the things of our life. He said He'd do us good with all the things that come into our life, didn't He? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know what kind of hope that gives you when you know those things? Folks, we can be persecuted. We can be distressed. We can be troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That's hope, isn't it? God wants to give us life on the inside, folks. He wants to make His scriptures alive to you and me. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Oh, Paul was interested in the life of Christ being lived out in his body. He wanted that. But it first had to come in. And folks, I believe if we'll let it in, we'll never be sorry we did that. I want to read one other place, Lord willing. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. Now listen to this. Paul was writing to Timothy here. And he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know, I don't know exactly what this is speaking of. Maybe Paul laid his hands on him when he received the Holy Ghost. Maybe it was gifts of the Spirit. I don't know what all this was. Maybe it was more than one thing. But I want to tell you something. Paul spoke to Timothy and he said, I remember that same true faith, unfeigned, not hypocritical, that is in you. I remember it was in your grandmother. It was in your mother. And now I see it in you. And he says, now listen, Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir it up. When you read the commentary on that scripture, Clark says it's certainly talking about the idea of stirring up a fire and adding fresh fuel to it. You know, this morning, if we're going to live the life of God, it's going to be on purpose. It's not going to be accidental. It will be on purpose. Now stir it up. Stir it up. Sometimes the fire almost goes out. We have a wood stove, and Rosie wanted some warmth this morning. She said, "Would you make me a fire?" She was too cold to make it herself. And I was like, okay, I ended up making a fire. Well, I want to tell you something. That fire is going to go out unless it's worked with. And I have to add fresh fuel. When I go home, I'm going to add some logs to that thing so that it lasts through the day and through the night. You know, this morning, how about our life this morning? Maybe the embers are burning kind of low. Do we have to just burn low all the time? Or can we actually stir those embers up? I've found that you go out there and you get some more sticks to put on it, and maybe it's down some, and you have to, I beat on them with a little metal rod I've got, and they start to glow red, and I stir them kind of and beat on them and get them together and work with it and then add some sticks to it. And you know what? Shut the door and nothing happens sometimes. But in a little bit, they flame up. And then you put some more on there and it flames up more. And then you can build into a great fire. Oh, this morning I just want to encourage us and challenge us, folks. Let the Lord work in our lives, and let's let Him stir up in our lives and add fuel to the fire, and let him speak through us. I think He wants us to sit up, and maybe He wants us to have something to say. Maybe He wants us to have a prayer. I'm not just talking to people that aren't saved, folks. Maybe He wants us to have a prayer, maybe a song. You know, during our meeting, we had a lot of special songs this year. And I want to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Somebody was using their gift, and I think it affected the services time after time. I want us to stir up those gifts that are within us. You know what? You have something to contribute to the things of God. Let's let God live in our soul. Let's awake. Let's behold His beauty. And let's stir up the gift of God. Pray for me. I know that if I make it to heaven, and I hope to and I plan to, it's going to be on purpose. It's going to be because I myself did this. The Lord bless us each one this morning. Amen.